Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome as we are celebrating the National Day of Prayer and as we join with people from across the nation to pray for our nation, to pray for our political leaders, to pray for our president, his family, to pray for his cabinet, the vice president, the Congress, the U.S. Senate, all those who serve us in public service and even on the local level, those who serve us in state government and also in local communities. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. You can learn more about our organization by logging on to ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Well, we are going to enter into prayer this hour, and we're going to be talking about prayer. And with me on the phone is David Cabal, who is the president of Intercessors for America, who has a vibrant ministry of prayer on Capitol Hill, praying with our legislators on a regular basis. And this is so important because we are in a spiritual warfare in our country right now. David, thank you for joining us on the program.
Well, Chris, thank you for the opportunity.
Well, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity, the National Day of Prayer. I think of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You know, a number of years ago, when I was just a few years old in the Lord, I went to a major prayer gathering in Washington called Washington for Jesus. It was on April 29th, 1980. Mm-hmm. And it was a time of prayer and fasting and repentance, and I remember it very well. And there was a move of God at that time. Our nation was in a quandary. We had just come out of the Watergate era. We had also come through the Vietnam War. There was a lot of confusion. The economy was not doing well. And even the front page of the Washington Times that morning showed the downed helicopters of the failed attempt by the military to rescue our hostages in Iran. It was not a good time for America, but it was a time for people to come together in prayer. Pray. And we're at a time like that right now in our nation. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you couldn't be more accurate. We really are. Our nation has never been more divided politically or culturally. It's just really an amazing time. But you know, Chris, the scripture that you quoted there at the beginning states the reality of the situation. And the reality is that history is in the hands of the intercessor. And God has given those of us who have faith, who are willing to humble ourselves and pray and seek the Lord's face, to invite him to come and change this land. And so as hard as things are, as divisive as things seem, as we watch the news, I can tell you that all is not lost. God is doing incredible things inside this government, inside this administration. And I cannot stress it enough, history is in the hands of the intercessor.
You know, the Lord, he invites us to join him. In fact, when we think about Jesus after his resurrection, and he said, I ascend to my Father and your Father. And in that place in which he ascended to, sitting at the right hand of the Father on high, and he makes intercession, Hebrews declares. He makes intercession for us. And he asks us to join him in that intercessory role, to pray for his kingdom to come on earth, to pray for his will to be done in the lives of people, in the lives of nations, in the lives of those who are lost. And I just think that the church is being called back to prayer. We could talk about prayer, we could preach about prayer, but then do we actually pray? Do we take time to really talk to our Heavenly Father? And people can do this anywhere. You don't have to go to, and there's observances all around the country today. They're on Capitol Hill and at the White House and state capitals across the country, and of course on local communities are all praying. But what is most important is that people take time at the noon hour or sometime today to pray with their families and to pray and intercede for our country and pray for our president, pray for those in elected office, pray for the church. Pray for the church to be vibrant once again, that the the message. Pray for your pastors to be encouraged in the ministry and to be anointed by God's call and gifting in their lives, to have a renewing factor when they enter the pulpit with the same kind of zeal that they started in the ministry with, not the discouragement that has come upon them after many days and difficulties, but pray that they have that same zeal of why they went into the ministry in the first place. David, your thoughts?
Well, the picture that you drew where God is sitting on a throne and Jesus, his son, is sitting at his right hand is totally accurate, of course. It's a picture of a court where he is holding court. And I actually, at this very moment, on this National Day of Prayer, I am sitting, taking this interview, sitting on the courts of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And when the disciples asked Jesus how they could pray, Jesus said, in the Lord's Prayer, pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as I sit on these marble steps, there is no more of an important place, no more of an important institution for us to pray that God's kingdom values would be expressed through the Supreme Court of the United States of America. As we see Roe v. Wade overturned, as we see religious freedoms protected, and all of those kinds of things. But you're exactly right. We need to pray. We need to pray consistently. We need to realize that when we pray for government, it is a marathon. It is not a sprint. There are many moving parts. There's many things that need to be covered in prayer, and there's many things that need to be prayed for over a long period of time. But I can tell you that we have never had a more pro-religious freedoms administration than the president of the United States that we have right now. Not in recent history. He wants to empower the church to be the church. He wants Christians to have the freedom to be Christians. He's had more pastors in the White House than any administration in the history of our country because he wants to be connected through the church, through the pastors. And so he wants to encourage people to fast and pray for this nation. So today on this day, this National Day of Prayer, is the day for us to do that.
Absolutely. We're talking to Dave Cabal. He is the president of Intercessors for America. It's a national ministry. They have work on Capitol Hill as they minister and pray for our elected officials on a daily basis, and to meet with them, to engage with them, to share the scriptures with them, encouragement with them, and to pray and intercede for them. You know, it's so important that we pray for these men and women who serve us in public office. They can become discouraged, even those who you know are committed believers, but they're at times so discouraged by many difficulties that come their way and discouragement that comes their way. We need not to forget them, but to be mindful of them, to pray for them. This is how we're going to see things turn around in our country. You know, David, as we think about the young people today, we have an epidemic of opiate crisis. Here in Ohio, it's very bad, and as it is in many states in the Midwest. In fact, suicide rates among our teenagers is just skyrocketing, and people, you know, our youth are losing hope. We need to present to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is wherein hope lies. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I really agree. Our nation needs hope, and we need to be praying for hope without a doubt. And this is the day to do it. The National Day of Prayer, I'm actually on the board for the National Day of Prayer, and the theme this year is love one another. And that's how we bring hope to those that are around us, by caring for them, showing them love, showing them God's love, not just freely accepting whatever behavior that they might display, but to love them in the way that God wants them to be loved, God's best for them. And so on this day, as we join with tens of thousands, millions of Christians across this nation, let's just all together today on this National Day of Prayer pray that there would be a great move across this nation of loving one another.
This is an opportunity for us to really join in and to pray. You know, one of the projects we're working on, David, is to add FDR's D-Day landing prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. We actually got the legislation passed 5 years ago. President Obama signed it into law after both Senator Portman was the Senate sponsor and Congressman Johnson was the House sponsor, and both houses concurred in President Obama signed it into law. We're now in the fundraising aspect of the project to add the prayer in its entirety. It's the prayer that he prayed with the nation on the morning of the D-Day landings, and the liberation of Europe was underway. We're going to observe the 75th anniversary here in June of the D-Day landings with those few remaining World War II vets who are still with us and give them honor. But one of the things that the president prayed, he said, "Some have asked that I call for a special day of prayer, but I ask you to join with me in a continuance of prayer. Because the road is long and there's so much to get done. I ask you to join with me in continuance of prayer." I think we could both say amen to that. Is that right?
Wow, that's great. And yeah, what a great example of how a leader leads our nation spiritually. And we need leader after leader in this day and age to continue to call this nation to pray. There are hundreds of legislators, elected officials here in Washington, D.C., that are part of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, that are involved in Bible studies, that are involved in prayer events on this National Day of Prayer. And we need to pray for them, lift them up. In 1 Timothy 2, it says, "Pray first and foremost for kings and all who are in authority, that that you might have a peaceful life and that the gospel might go forth." And so everybody that's listening to this interview on the National Day of Prayer, it behooves you. You will be better off. You will get benefit if you pray for your leaders, because scriptures promise that we will have a peaceful life and the gospel will go forth as a result of that.
That's right. And there's a joy in prayer, because there's an answer to prayer, and there's a joy that comes in communing with our Heavenly Father and interceding for others and actually taking that time to pray for them. You know, I was looking at the old clip. It's 38 years ago. It's hard to believe that. I was a young man at the time in 1980 with Washington for Jesus and the 700 Club. I was Googling it this morning, and I saw the clip of them talking about the Washington for Jesus, and they had some video of the event. But just the people that were talking about it were just so joyful that they felt that they had a breakthrough, fasting, praying, interceding, repenting. And then God gave them an answer and a breakthrough. Of course, later that year, Ronald Reagan was elected to office, and there was a real turnaround for our country. The hostages had come home. Iran just released them on the day that Ronald Reagan was sworn into office. There wasn't any conflict. It was just peacefully they were released back to the United States. And so some really good things happened. That can happen again. We have great conflict, and I saw some of your teaching videos, Dave, where you're talking about the Satanist church is actually casting daily spells upon our elected officials and upon our president, and we need to understand we're involved with a spiritual warfare. Paul says, "You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places," in Ephesians chapter 6. So we really do need to engage in that kind of prayer for our president, for our country. And it's not as if we don't have opposition. We do. The enemy does not want us to be successful in interceding and speaking good to our leaders. Your thoughts?
Chris, I got to tell you, without a doubt, every elected official I've talked to said that they were surprised by the level and the amount of spiritual warfare there is when they come into their first time period of their role here in Washington, D.C. This is the most powerful city in the world. It controls the most assets, controls the most military might. It affects the outcome of nations across this globe. So you can imagine the enemy would want to set up camp here in the nation's capital. And we've got to be praying for our elected officials that they would have clarity, that they would understand with wisdom how to lead this government, lead this nation in a God-fearing way.
Absolutely. Amen. And that's what we're going to do, is join with you. How can we be involved in an ongoing basis? Today's the National Day of Prayer. Certainly, folks are praying, they're interceding, they're joining with their churches, they're joining with their prayer groups to pray for the country and with their families. What can people do to be involved with Intercessors for America? Because you folks do this day in and day out. Explain that to us.
Yeah, absolutely. The simplest way for people to get engaged in praying on a regular basis would be to go to our webpage. It's ifapray.org, or like you're describing your webpage, just Google Intercessors for America, and you'll see on the front page a news feed. We actually call it headline prayer. and we post 4, 5, 6 different prayer needs every single day, issues that need to be covered in prayer. But it's not just a news feed. It's an interactive feed for intercessors. There's opportunities for them to engage with each other through comments and encouragement. There's buttons to click. But even more importantly than that, there's opportunities at certain times to contact elected officials, to encourage them, tell them that they're being prayed for. So on a regular basis, every single day, they can your listeners can go to Intercessors for America, go to our newsfeed and see all the things that need to be prayed for. Of course, we do the usual Facebook and emails, and people can sign up for that. But when we get words, that President Trump needs prayer right now about something or this or that, and we'll put the stuff up, and we get thousands and thousands and thousands of page views every single day of people who are committed to praying for this nation. So that's the simplest way, Chris.
I'm looking at it right now. It's a very impressive link. This is some pretty heady stuff that you have here. This is actually, it's newsworthy, but also to give you specifics, folks, to pray for. I mean, this is outstanding. Again, going to their website, just Google Intercessors for America or www.ifapray.org, that's for Intercessors for America, and click on the headline prayer link. And this is really relative things that we're dealing with: national security, in government, timely news issues. And this is wonderful things that you have, that your folks have put together here, Dave. We're going to put this link on our website as a continual link. I think this would be helpful to our folks here in Ohio to join you in prayer. So thank you so much. I know we just have a few minutes left. Your activities today for the National Day of Prayer, what will you be doing there in Washington?
Well, actually, I have the privilege to be in the Rose Garden this morning, as the president signs the proclamation. And so that's going to be quite a treat. And from there, we have a group of people that are in that we'll be praying with. And then the evening national observance, which will be held in Statuary Hall, will be an event that will be televised across the globe, actually, on God TV and a number of different sources. I'll be involved in that. So it's a busy day, National Day of Prayer. Get to be with the president as he signs the national proclamation for the National Day of Prayer, and then actually in the national observance in Statuary Hall. It'll be a full day.
Well, that's wonderful, and it's such a great turnaround, because the previous administration, for whatever reason, unfortunately, didn't have observances at the White House. So, of course, we'll have the National Day of Prayer, regardless of what political officials, whether their participation is. The church is going to pray. We're going to pray for our country. Yep. But it is always nice for elected officials to acknowledge it. And on the local level as well, there's proclamations that have been issued by mayors and governors and the like to encourage the prayer. And they actually covet those prayers. As many of those I talk to in public office say, thank you for praying for us. And David, how can we pray for you? As you're a prayer warrior and one who is taking the message of prayer and intercession to our elected officials, how can we pray for you?
Well, wisdom and opportunity, just that God would give us the right opportunities and that we would have the wisdom to know which doors to walk through. They said that the enemy of the great is the good. And so we really want to have the greatest things that God has called us to, and not just the good things that come along.
David, thank you so much for joining me today. Again, David Cabal, he is president of Intercessors for America on this, the National Day of Prayer. And we'll be continuing to pray with you, and we'll have the link on our website so people can be following and joining you in your mission and ministry of prayer on Capitol Hill. Thank you, my friend.
It's been a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Again, that's Dave Cabal, of President of Intercessors for America, and we're talking about the National Day of Prayer, and we encourage you to pray with your family. Take time this evening as you get home from work. Maybe you're working right now, but when you get home this evening, take time to sit down at the table and with the family and go over the scriptures. Go from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, this is what we're doing today. And, you know, Jesus said in Luke 18 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And indeed, we do have discouraging times that we face, discouraging times in our own cities and in our own country and in our own state and region. And maybe you're facing some difficulties right now, but this is a time to pray and to seek God's face and ask Him for forgiveness. We need to all repent of our sins. The church needs to repent. You know, there's a word you don't hear today. It's almost as if it's been omitted from the vocabulary of church doctrine these days, unfortunately. But that's what we need to do. John the Baptist came preaching repentance and to be baptized and to be prepare yourselves for the coming of the Lord. Well, the Lord has come, and we are to prepare our hearts for Him. And that's what we can do. We can do this by just confessing our own sins, coming to Him in humility. You know, God will resist the pride, and He'll resist the proud, but He'll give grace to the humble. So if we humbly come to God and saying, "Lord, I can't do it. You'll have to do it through me. You'll have to help me live out this Christian life." He will do that. And maybe you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, you know you can do that, friend. You can go to the Scriptures and ask God to reveal Himself to you. And He is faithful and He is just. And, you know, to begin to read the Bible. The Bible is God's revealed Word. It's His will to you and to me. And if you pray, He will not deny you. If you come to Him in sincerity and truth and saying, "Lord, help me, guide me." And I would encourage you to go to the Psalms and go to the book of John and to read the Scriptures and to learn about Jesus. And then to say, just to pray the simple prayer, "Lord, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and cleanse me and help me to live for you." And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, the Bible just declares, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Well, that's you, friend, and that's me, and that's the call to us today. And you have to ask yourself a question: do I believe that Jesus is the Christ? And if you believe, confess Him. You know, because to confess Christ, He said, "Whosoever is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him. But whoever proclaims me, I will proclaim his name before the Father and the angels in heaven." Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who loves you, friend, and He will be your Savior if you call upon Him. Let's continue to pray on this, the National Day of Prayer. To learn more about our organization, just Google Ohio Christian Alliance or go on to ohioca.org. Those of you staying with us, we're going to continue our National Day of Prayer theme as we talk about reading through the Bible, and it's happening all across the country with the Bible Reading Marathon. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to those veterans who served us in World War II. The Ohio Christian Alliance has led the effort to add the prayer. The Spring Freedom Banquet is Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, with speakers historian Bill Federer, Congressman Bill Johnson, and World War II reenactors. To register, log on to ohioca.org, ohioca.org. And we hope that you will come out to the Freedom Banquet next Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton. Again, as we'll have Congressman Bill Johnson, MC Bob France from the Bob France Authority on our sister station, WHK. Bill Federer, author and historian, will be talking about the prayers of World War II. Former state representative, current judge, retired Marine Colonel Danny Bupp will be with us. He'll be in uniform, and he's going to be talking about his portion of helping get this done, as he did a resolution at the Ohio State House back in 2013 to support the effort that led to the legislative directive to add FDR's D-Day prayer at the World War II Memorial. Well, we are close now, and we're getting closer to actually getting this prayer added. The 75th anniversary is upon us on June 6th, and we are kicking off with May 10th at the Freedom Banquet and raising funding for the prayer to be added in its entirety. All 515 words of the D-Day prayer, the prayer, the speech that FDR gave on the morning of the D-Day landings. And so it'll be a wonderful addition to that monument that will be a teaching tool for young people for years and decades to come. And we hope that you can be a part of it. You can register online at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Well, we're continuing with our theme of the National Day of Prayer on this, the National Day of Prayer. And we ask that you join with us in prayer for our nation, for our president, for his family, the vice president, for Congress, for the Senate, for all those who serve us in public office, and for our military, and of course, our clergy. We need to pray for our pastors. And with me on the phone is a dear pastor from the Maryland area. His name is Michael Hall, and Pastor Mike has been involved with the National Day of Prayer Bible Reading Marathon for 26 years running, and this year he finally passed the baton on to some other folks to continue the mission. But for 26 years, he kept the Bible Reading Marathon going on the steps of the U.S. Capitol, facing the mall. I've been there for the last 2 years. I'm back in Ohio this year, but Mike and I are going to talk about that. Pastor, how are you?
I'm fine, Chris. How are you today?
Well, good, brother. And I just had Dave Cabal of the Intercessors for America on with us, and he's in Washington and taking in the festivities on the National Day of Prayer. But I want to thank you for your years of service of this wonderful ministry of the Bible Reading Marathon. And that, of course, is reading the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation straight through. And it starts on Sunday and then ends up, I think, on Thursday morning. And this is happening all across the country. It has been going on for years. There's power in proclaiming God's word audibly. You know, in fact, there's one college professor told my daughter, he said, you know, when you read books, read them aloud. You know, your ear has to hear what your mouth is saying. And he was talking about classic literature. Well, how much more God's word? We need to hear God's word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your thoughts?
Well, what we do is imitate what Ezra Nehemiah did over in the book of Nehemiah in the 8th chapter, where God used those men to call the nation together to listen to a public reading of the Bible. And that's all we've been doing for it. This is the 30th year, but that's all we do is stand there, and we are living examples of Isaiah 55 so that God's word goes forth. And I do believe it changes lives and certainly changes the nation.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of the National Day of Prayer. You know, our country was actually founded on April 29th, 1607, with the planting of a 14-foot cross in Virginia Beach. We call it the Virginia Landings. I've got a painting of it in front of me right here in the studio. And
beautiful.
Characteristic of when they landed and prayed for this country. And these were Christians that were praying. We call it the Virginia Landings, April 29th, 1607. And this is the history that we have. So years ago, I went to Washington for Jesus. It was on April 29th in 1980. Nearly a half a million people came from across the country to fast, to pray, yes, to seek God's face. It was a wonderful time. And it was a wonderful time spiritually, but it was a terrible time for our nation. We were just come out of the Vietnam War era and the Watergate years. Our country was in stagnant inflation, and the economy was terrible. And actually, there was great divide in our country, similar to what we have today. And really, people didn't even know what the future was for our country. And at that time, even on April the 29th, I shared early in the program that morning we woke up to the newspapers with the helicopters that were downed and crashed in the deserts of Iran in a failed attempt to rescue the hostages in Iran. So it was a very discouraging time for our nation. But it was a time that God's people came together and prayed, and things began to happen. Pastor, what do you think?
I'm an older man, so I've seen it in my life, but in every decade, every year that I've lived, there's always been great separation, great tragedy, but God always has a man or a woman who will step up and do something publicly for his cause. And just like Ezra and Nehemiah did, just like you're doing about the prayer, and just like the people that are standing right now on the west side of the U.S. Capitol reading the Bible, I think God is looking for that. And in every generation, there's going to be battles to fight, but in every generation, God has his warriors who will step up and be counted.
Amen. And that's what we need right now. We need, you know, for there to be an uprising among God's people to, you know, really take on the mantle of prayer and the proclamation of his word. Once again,
Amen.
You know, back in 1977, my family, we were divided. We were, I was a young man, but I had two older brothers and my mom and dad, and they owned a bar at the time. I had a brother out in California in rock bands, another brother trying to make his way through the minor league ball camps, trying to make it into the majors. And we couldn't have been more divided as a family, and we were away from God, where there was, you know, we were lost. But, you know, in that year of 1977, God brought a miracle to the Long family. All my immediate family came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I mean dramatically came to faith in Jesus Christ and never turned back. In fact, my life verse is Luke 9:62. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, once I accepted Jesus, I was all in. And, you know, it's been a journey ever since. I don't see how anybody can think that, you know, the Christian life is boring. It's been anything but boring. Pastor, I mean, what? You know, I don't know why people need drugs. I mean, when you serve the Lord, there's great joy. But I mean, I'll tell you one thing. I've never questioned that I'm alive. Okay. Every day you get up, there's challenges and there's difficulties. But then you see the Lord work, and it's not always in the time that we want. And he's working out his will in us. We could see in the Apostle Paul's life how that works out, and in the church's life. But, you know, I think my concern is, as we look around today, where are the prophets of God? Where are these preachers that are calling the church to repentance? Now, there's a strange word in today's world. You don't hear, it's almost as if it's been omitted from doctrine, Pastor. You don't hear the word repent.
Yes. Well, and looking for the leadership, but you know, even for regular people, they'll take a stand. You know, back in the Old Testament, when King David was dying, he was talking about all the great men that helped him win all the huge battles. And the third man down was a man named Shema. And all these other people had been great warriors, but all Shema did was stand in a lentil patch and defend it. And he defeated the Philistines and brought a great victory in Israel. So sometimes, you know, if we don't have the leadership we need just common people who will stand. Even small things are important to the kingdom of God. Stand, you know, stand on the word of God, prayer, and even something small, God can use it in a great way. But we do need people in this generation to stand.
You know, it's a great legacy to have the National Day of Prayer. Let me go through the history of it. Now, we talked about the landings in 1607, but in 1952, President Harry Truman signed in law the joint resolution establishing the National Day of Prayer, but it didn't give it a specific day.
Right.
In 1979, the National Prayer Committee was established to plan events for the National Day of Prayer. Again, not having a specific day, but sometime in the spring. In 1983, the first national event observing the National Day of Prayer took place in the Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C. And in 1987, a bill was introduced into Congress to amend the 1952 law to designate a specific day for the National Day of Prayer. That bill, of course, means that the first Thursday in May designates. In 1988, President Reagan signed the bill into law designating the first Thursday of May as the annual observance of the National Day of Prayer. So it gives us a date on the calendar that we look to as a nation, and we say, this is a day, this is the National Day of Prayer, we're going to observe it, we're going to pray. And so we have the mechanism, but that's not going to get it done. What needs to happen is God's people simply just need to pray. They need to, and what is prayer? Prayer is talking to our Heavenly Father. Now, if you're having trouble praying, you know, I remember a preacher, and this is when I was in the ministry. He was an older preacher, wonderful brother. And he had said to me, I was getting on a bus, we were going to an event. He said, are you still on speaking terms with Jesus? And he didn't mean it as a joke. I think, God, you know, and it just so happened, I had come through some great difficulty and great discouragement. And I never would have said it, but I, you know, I had grievances with God at that moment. And it was actually, he was speaking into my heart, you know, because I really wasn't talking to the Lord. Yeah, I'm doing you can do ministry and not be talking to the Lord. Isn't that right, Pastor? I mean, it happens.
That's right. That's right, Pastor. And Chris, listen, you were talking about those dates. In 1989, Dr. John Hash, who was a Christian Missionary Alliance scholar, and Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, were in the Holy Land in December of that year and came across a public reading of God's Word, and that's where God placed the vision of Dr. Hash's heart to have the Bible reading marathon at the U.S. Capitol and tie it to the National Day of Prayer, because he felt that 5 days of reading God's Word would lay a foundation, a scriptural foundation for the Day of Prayer, and those two events should be tied together. And that's our history, starting in December of 89, and we started in May of 1990, and President Bush declared the 90s the decade of the Bible. So one man got it in his heart just from seeing somebody read the Word out loud, and now the Bible reading marathon is still going on.
And God bless you, Pastor. The last 2 years, I've had the privilege of being invited to the White House for the National Day of Prayer. This year, I'm back home in my own community to read the Bible here in our downtown and to take in the observance here. And I had an opportunity to stop by at the Capitol and to pray and with you and to read the scriptures on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. And folks, I want to tell you, the faithfulness of ministry. 26 years, Pastor Hall has been making sure that this Bible reading marathon continues. And as we talked last year, Pastor, you were concerned and said, you know, if we lapse a year, if somehow the committee doesn't, because I can't do this forever, I'm getting older and there's some things happening and I may not be able to continue as it was this year. And you're saying if we skip a year, we may lose the Park Service easement or license or application to be able to have this Bible reading marathon, we might lose it. So, you know, we used to, you often say if you don't use it, you might lose it. Well, that was your concern. Give us an update. What has happened?
Well, we are the only event that happens at the U.S. Capitol that's a 5-day, 4-night event. It takes a congressional resolution to allow us to stay overnight. We're the only ones that do that. And this is the 30th. And it's just like you said, we're getting older. My wife's been in ill health, and she's really the spirit behind this whole event. And so we prayed. And for the last 5 years, people from Indiana have been coming. A wonderful man by the name of Keith Davidson, who has a ministry called Seedline, which is just gives out scripture. God brought them to us. They picked up the torch, and we officially handed over Sunday night. So it's going to go on. And everyone that's been involved with it for all these years has had that same fear that if we let it lapse 1 year, we would not get that freedom back and get that permit. Because from the very first, from 1990, legislators have told us people have tried in Congress to stop us from doing this. So we thank God for the opportunity, and we thank God for the liberty to keep doing it.
And in that 26 years, it's in its 30th year this year, and you were doing it for 26 years. God bless your faithfulness.
Thank you, sir.
But
thank
like you said, it didn't matter who was the Speaker of the House, whether it was Newt Gingrich or whether it was Nancy Pelosi or Paul Ryan or John Boehner. They've all, Republican or Democrat, have given you the go-ahead to keep it going. That's
right.
Encouraging.
Right. Yes. So whatever God puts in your heart, Chris, or people that are listening to you, just step out by faith and do it. Be brave for God. You know, as the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So it's time for us to stand up as Christians, not only for what we believe as Christians, but for this great country.
We're talking with Pastor Michael Hall, who is the senior pastor at People's Church, and that is in Camp Springs, Maryland. And he has been the faithful overseer of the Bible Reading Marathon at the U.S. Capitol for 26 years running, and now it's 30 years. He was 26 of the years. He was the overseer of it and keeping it going. This year, the baton has been passed, and others are taking on. God bless them. That is so wonderful. Pastor, one of the aspects that I really enjoyed being with you the last couple years, you have a table with Bibles from various languages from around the world, because the U.S. Capitol, everyone knows, is a international city. There's guests coming in from all over the globe. And what I saw was people coming up and seeing their Bible in their language and asking, could they read? And going to the podium and begin reading with tears streaming down their face and saying, in my nation, in my country, I would be arrested for this. And they were so joyful to be able to read the Word of God aloud.
You can't do this in Canada because they don't have a Bill of Rights. We have over 100 non-English translation Bibles into a country, every country. Every person has come from every country said you cannot stand next to whatever building is a seat of power and do what we do standing there at the Capitol and read the Bible.
I saw people from Nepal. I saw people from Indonesia. I talked to them. These are people from India, from all over the world that came and were reading the scriptures. How many different translations did you have on the table in the last couple of years?
104.
Oh, my.
104.
Well, I cut you short. I've been telling people about 45 different translations. 104. That's incredible.
Yes. Taken us quite a few years to be able to do that. We have Cherokee, Navajo, we have all the Native American languages. We have even a language of down in South Carolina, Gullah, which is kind of Pidgin English and an African dialect. We have from all the languages in India, all the Asian languages and Eastern European, all of that. One time we had to move because of a bomb threat, and it was at midnight. We were moving, and the young man said, well, let me keep reading. He was reading in Russian. He was a Christian from Russia.
That's incredible, Pastor. You know, and as we're talking about this, there's people that do the Bible Reading Marathon on the local level. And, you know, I'm thinking in Akron itself, it has Akron University, a number of students come from foreign lands. And if you were to actually have a Bible reading marathon and to have some of the scriptures in their language and having them read the Bible in their language at these events, folks, you can see the evangelistic opportunity that's here.
Amen.
So this is, I'd love to see that go across the country. And we're going to start sharing that, Pastor, with other people, because that's such a wonderful thing that you've done at the U.S. Capitol. It's been so impactful that we need to pass it on. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Pastor Hall in just a minute. And again, we're talking about the nationwide Bible reading marathon. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to those veterans who served us in World War II. The Ohio Christian Alliance has led the effort to add the prayer. The Spring Freedom Banquet is Friday, May 10th at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, with speakers historian Bill Federer, Congressman Bill Johnson, and World War II reenactors. To register, log on to ohioca.org, ohioca.org.
2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible declares, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Folks, that's what we need to be doing on this, the National Day of Prayer. We need to be seeking God's face. We need to be confessing our sins. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. We need to confess our sins to God, and we need to repent and humbly come before Him. God will refuse the pride and the proud, but He will give grace to the humble. And God will give you grace, my friend, if you just humble yourself before Him and come to Him. Ask for forgiveness, and then He'll fill you with His forgiveness, with His peace, with His grace, and with His Spirit. And call upon Him. If you don't know the Lord, call upon the Lord. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's what we're doing on this, the National Day of Prayer. We're praying for our country. We're praying for our young people, and we're praying for those who serve us in public office, and praying for our nation, and interceding for our country. Pastor, your thoughts.
I certainly agree with you. I wanted to add one thing. The importance of reading the Bible at the U.S. Capitol has really shaken us down through the years, because people would call and a local, maybe at a town hall or at a seat of government, at a governor's mansion or any place like that, people would call and say, "We have a problem. They won't let us read the Bible publicly." And they use the fact that we're reading on the west side of the Capitol as proof that you can do that. And over again, God has opened doors for people to read in a state capitol, in a town. Just a couple of years ago, a lady said, "I want to read it in Boston," and they wouldn't let her read it. And she showed them that we're reading it at the U.S. Capitol. So they granted her permit. They said, "Okay, go down to Boston Commons and you can read it." So she had a readathon there. So it's very important that it's happening there. But what people do in their own communities is very important. What you're doing with this prayer project, you have no idea what that will spawn. Everybody that comes to read that prayer, it will just grow. It'll spread across the nation. So it's important for us individually to take a stand and just stand and be faithful standing.
Talking to Pastor Michael Hall, who is the senior pastor at People's Church in Camp Springs, Maryland, who has been the overseer and the curator, the keeper of the Bible Reading Marathon at the National Capitol for the last 26 years. And thankfully, the ministry has been passed on to some folks who will be able to continue that ministry. Pastor, of course, you and your wife will be praying for your health and the blessing upon you both as faithful servants of the Lord. The Lord add to your years, and God bless you, my friend. And, you know, I know you're taking some time out right now, and the Lord restore both of you and give you health. And I want to tell you, too, I'll be calling you when I go to Washington. I'll be down there for June 5th and 6th of this year with the D-Day observance. We'll be doing some media. Hopefully there's a major announcement at the observance at the World War II Memorial about the prayer. And so I'd like you to join us down there. And, of course, there's, you know, as we pray and as we read, we think about the, you know, the memorial cross that's not far from the nation's capital there in Maryland. That's that case is being heard with that large World War One, the Peace Cross. That case is being has been heard at the U.S. Supreme Court. They're deciding on that. There's so much reasons why, folks, religious liberty wise, we need to be praying, because Jesus said a day is coming when darkness will be here, when you know, when there won't be any light. But now we have the day. Minister while you have the light, folks.
Amen.
Because there's a night coming when no man can work. Jesus warned us of this. And that's what religious liberty is all about. And you just heard, if you take stand, then you can see good things happen. But God's looking for men and women of boldness. Pastor, thank you for your commitment, your faithfulness, and your boldness all these years to proclaim and have others help to proclaim, they to proclaim the Word of God at the U.S. Capitol. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Again, that's Pastor Michael Hall of People's Church in Camp Springs, Maryland. Again, all these years, he was the faithful servant to make sure that the Bible reading marathon continued. What are you doing to make sure that God's legacy and of his people and of his ministry continues? Think about that, pray about that, and continue to join us today on this, the National Day of Prayer, as we intercede for our nation. God bless you all. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.